Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
How many things was Trump right about and Joe Biden wrong about? How many are there out there? Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. A lot to discuss with you today, including the remain in Mexico policy. That's what I'm thinking about right now, because we were told that was inhuman. We were told that was such a bad thing the Trump administration did, even though it secured the border. And today, set to go back into effect, the Remain in Mexico program, because otherwise they know they can't stop the flow of illegal migrants, and it is turning into a political liability going into a midterm year. There's also defund police, which the Democrat Party embraced, which was the most idiotic idea, as Clay and I have discussed with you many times, perhaps of our lifetimes. I mean, walls don't work is pretty high up on the list of stupid things to say, but defund police was shockingly dumb as well. There's a lot of areas of policy disaster that have unfolded before us. The border, crime, just wait till what inflation looks like next year, because they think spending more money is going to make things better. But I also wanted to bring up a group here for whom the bad decision seemed to not come with any political consequence, and that is the kids and what's been done to them. We know that the Democrats were wrong about Remain in Mexico on the U.S. southern border. We know the Democrats were wrong about crime, and we've suffered through this as a nation, big cities and small cities. I mentioned this last week, Wichita, Lansing, plenty of cities that have had huge increases in crime with progressive prosecutors and defund the police madness in the air. But Clay, what we've done to kids, and not you and me and the people listening to this, but America, what the Democrat Party, the Biden regime, and Democrats at the state and local level have done to kids across the country with COVID is perhaps one of the most appalling things about this entire chapter in our nation's history. Our friend Carol Markowitz over at the New York Post, who's been a staunch defender of children during this, she's got kids in the New York City public school system, wrote a piece, "Mask Mandates Are Harming Our Kids' Development." And Clay, in one of the most unsurprising conclusions possible now, finally, you're seeing these "It Can Finally Be Told" pieces, she points out, where opening schools was never a problem. Schools never should have been closed. They are not the feasts for COVID and all the people are going to be hospitalized. It's going to be terrible. Kids are going to... That was all hysterical nonsense pushed by the lazy teachers unions to allow people to do remote teaching, which is no teaching. But kids are suffering now developmentally. They're behind in reading. They're behind where they would have been, right? In 1 year, they've fallen back dramatically. They're having cognitive issues. They're having speech issues. They're having emotional, psychological trauma from being masked up, from sitting on the ground outside in freezing weather to eat their lunch, which they make kids do in New York City. People are abusing their kids. I mean, it's like the photo we mentioned the first hour where a woman is gleeful at her child getting the shot. The kid is crying and writhing in pain. And we just had an MD on the last hour said kids don't need the shot. What's going on?
You heard me sigh there. Probably a lot of people did. Because this is one of those things that I believe is going to be impossible to fix. Let me explain what I mean by that. Buck, you and I, you talk about this a lot, but this is one of the things that we were 100% right about. When they shut down schools back in March, I was willing to make the argument then, okay, let's do it for 2 weeks, got to bring the kids back. Even to not finish that school year, I think was a poor decision. But the analogy that they were trying to make, remember they said, hey, if you go look at what happened with the flu 100 years ago, the schools that shut down had better results, the communities that shut down schools, than the ones that did not. And what I know you were saying, what I was saying was, you can't fight the battle of this war based on the technology of the last war. One of the biggest failures, if you like military history, I know you do too, do like I do, Buck, is every new war is fought based on the technology that would have won the last war. And what was so frustrating to me about the whole idea to shut down schools in the first place was it was based on an entirely different virus, which impacted people of different ages completely differently. We knew that China lied about a lot of data early on. But by March and April and May of 2020, it was quite clear that kids were spared from severe consequences from COVID. So the idea of not allowing them to go to school and, in fact, sending them home and telling them to stay in their houses with their family members was actually more dangerous because we know COVID spreads inside of households much more so. But what was so frustrating, this is the one area where I think Trump could have won the election and he didn't quite make this case, because I think you're seeing it made now in 2021. I think you're going to see it made in 2022. Moms and dads out there who suddenly had to be responsible for keeping their kids home from school weren't able to do their own jobs. The amount of economic impact from shutting down schools, not only for those kids, but for the larger society, was seismic and remains seismic. And Buck, the kids who could least afford to be out of school, kids without reliable internet at home, kids without parents who had the luxury to be able to work from home and could help supervise what they were doing on an hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis, those kids are the biggest losers. And we lost, before all is said and done, we will have lost millions of kids from the educational system who will never complete their full education, primarily poor, primarily minority, primarily disadvantaged, socioeconomic backgrounds that don't have a lot of opportunity. Those are the kids that bore the brunt of the cost. Because if you were rich, you got a teacher to come in, your parents could do it, you built your own pod system, all those things. The poor kids bore all the brunt, and the Democrats claim to care about equity, and they failed them.
You know what happens? The teachers' unions end up telling us when all the test scores, it's already happening, folks. I mean, they're already seeing that kids, and as Clay says, he's spot on, the people that suffered the most, the children that suffered the most, are low-income kids and disproportionately minority kids. Democrats, of course, pretend to care so much about those demographics. They're already doing all these studies to show they're behind, and in a sense, it will take, even with additional help, years to get them back to where they would have been. Not like years to get them to a great level. Years to get them to the expected level within our failing public school system, by the way.
Yes.
And what's going to happen? A teachers' union is win-win. You know, they're going to say, we need more money. That's the problem. Give us more money and more paid leave and time off, and maybe we'll get your kids that we subjected to this madness back on track, which wasn't even a great track in the public school system in a lot of cases anyway. But Clay, more to the point today, New York is a perfect example of this. Kids are masked in schools.
I know.
I was at restaurants last week before I got sick. Adults who are at risk, including, you know, 75-year-olds who are substantially, you know, heavier and comorbidities and everything, they're sitting around in closed, you know, confined quarters, eating, drinking, doing whatever they want to do. I mean, everyone's doing it. All adults are doing it. Not to pick on any age group, but people that are at the most risk obviously come to mind. But we're all doing this. I mean, this is... People have, we've all turned into the folks who are being told to turn off your iPad because it might crash the plane, right? No one actually believes that, but the airlines enforced this lunacy for years and years. They finally relented a little bit because everyone realized it's so stupid. In my building, there's double maskers again. I'm finally seeing it now, so I got to stop making double masking jokes because people are now doing it. I'm seeing the double maskers come back. They do it in the elevator, but then they go sit in a restaurant for hours, unmasked. I'm like, well, what do you think you're doing? What are you accomplishing by this? And with children, the lowest risk demographic for COVID, the lowest risk of death, and the lowest risk for spreading it too, and at least half, you said Marty McCary told us this, I'd forgotten this stat, at least half have already had COVID. Their little immune systems are rock solid now against this virus, if they've had it and cleared it. And we're making them mask up. Governor Hochul of New York, and not to so much focus today on New York, folks, but, you know, we're at the tip of the spear of the lunacy. Governor Hochul's going around. She's older. She's unmasked. But your five-year-old has to be masked for 8 hours a day in school and mask up between bites. They enforce that. Mask up between bites in the school system. This is mass child abuse. It is child abuse.
This is what I went and talked about back in August at our school district. And I'm thankful that my kids, I have two in public school and one in a private school. None of them have to wear masks here in Nashville. They've done away with the private school masking requirement. My son goes to a school in Nashville, private school, where I live, obviously. And then my kids, we live in Williamson County, which is just south of Nashville, Franklin Brentwood area. They've done away basically with the masking requirement. And they're even allowing, Buck, you know, I used to like to go eat lunch. Our show now airs during lunchtime. But my wife went in and ate with our first grader. You know, every now and then you can go in if you have a kid in school and you can sit at the table with them and visit. And they've even opened back up now in our public schools, allowing parents and grandparents to come back in and be able to visit with the kids. And my son's private school just had a grandparents day. No masks required. All the grandparents could come for the first time in 2 years and be able to walk around and see everything at that school, to be able to see their grandsons and granddaughters and be able to experience that event. What we have taken away, what we have taken away from our young people is going to be calculated for generations to come. There's a real serious consequence of these decisions. And one of the things that I'm most fearful of, Buck, is this idea that we have ingrained in very young children anxiety, nervousness, and fear that they are going to die if they aren't wearing masks, that they are going to die if they don't put their mask back up between bites, if they don't get vaccinated for something that they're not in danger from.
I regularly, in New York, I mean, you know, I live and work in Midtown, so I'm right in the thick of it, folks, all the time. I regularly see parents outside unmasked with their children masked outside.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I just look at them, I'm like, what? It's one of these things. If I say anything, of course, I'm a bad guy. But I want to say, why are you crazy? Like, what is wrong with you? What has happened to you? But you know what? We know the answer. CNN, The New York Times, Fauci, constantly saying stuff that just drives up anxiety and doesn't actually provide public health benefits that they say it will. And then when we say, oh, look, they're wrong, or oh, look, they're doing the thing we said they would do, but they said they wouldn't, and now they're doing it, they just say, shut up, peasant, get your shot. I don't want to hear it.
This is also a consequence of polarization in media, and I'm glad that we're growing our audience to such an extent, because there's lots of people who hear, oh, they say this on Fox News, or oh, Clay and Buck say it, and initially their thought is, I just want to do the opposite of whatever those guys are saying. We don't have a real battle of ideas anymore, because I think there's lots of parents who are afraid of being judged for listening to anybody else.
I also want to point something out. All the libs you'll see, because this gets me very fired up, and I meant to say this for a while, all the libs you'll see are in lockstep with Fauci, have been the whole time, and that's the way that they approach things. And they always say, oh, well, you're just changing your tune because of the politics. I was opposed to Fauci when Trump was listening to it.
That's right.
I was opposed to Fauci and masking and lockdowns when a Republican president, granted in a crisis, granted it was a different time, but when Trump was going along with Fauciism, I was like, this is madness. We shouldn't do this. Why are we doing this? I've been consistent. The libs, and so have you, Clay, your credit, the libs are the ones who, when they're running Biden against Trump, it's, oh, I don't know if you can trust that vaccine. And then it's, oh, my God, the vaccine needs to be mandated every 6 months for everybody forever, right? I mean, they're the ones that switch based on the politics. I've hated all this crap all along, but we'll come back into it. We got more of this. You can tell. It's a fire. If you lived in New York, folks, let me tell you, you would just feel like the commies have overrun the place. I mean, the commies are running around. Not only are they in charge, but they're running around bayoneting the survivors after the battle. They've lost their minds. All right, the pets in our lives are part of the family. If you're a dog lover, you know what I mean. I mean, we got Tallulah in the Sexton family. We've also got Lila, the Cavapoo, and we've got Percy, the Pomeranian. We're going to get a big dog in the mix. That's going to be my job. Our family's got three of them, though. We know we love healthy dogs, and that's what we want, healthy dogs. You want them, too. Rough Greens is a healthy supplement. You sprinkle on top of the dry kibble that you're probably serving your dog every day, right? Rough Greens contains live ingredients that dry kibble does not, and you need it. Probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, omega oils, antioxidants, and the healthy microbacteria that your dog will really benefit from. You don't get that in dry dog food because it's sterilized. So add in the good live stuff with Rough Greens into your dog's food. It's the supplement that'll make your dogs healthier, happier, feel better. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it, they've got a special deal for you. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB, and they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB. Roughgreens.com/EIB.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, rolling through the third hour of the program. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Dr. Marty Makary was with us in the second hour of the program, and he was fantastic talking about Omicron, vaccinating kids, all of the latest data really good stuff. If you missed it in the second hour of the program, it'll be up on the podcast. I think you guys will really enjoy him. Johns Hopkins professor and doctor who has been a voice of sanity in an insane world, which is why he's been on this show quite a bit. Speaking of sanity, positive news. The WTA, the Women's Tennis Association, stood up to China over their treatment of a Chinese tennis player when that woman accused a prominent Communist Party official of sexual assault. And they pulled all of their WTA events out of China as a result. That seems to have woken up many of the people around the country who had been allowing Chinese communist dictatorships to dictate what they did and did not say. Included among that group, potentially the Biden administration, which today has announced a diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics. Crazily, and a lot of you probably hadn't have forgotten about this, but Beijing is hosting the 2022 Winter Olympics, which begin in February, just a couple of months from now. Jen Psaki made that announcement at the White House today. This is what it sounded like. Let's play cut 20.
Everybody can call it whatever they want to call it. I would just remind you that often when you use diplomatic boycott, that phrase, that brings people back to 1980. And we are not. The athletes will be participating. We will be rooting for the athletes from home. I am an Olympics-obsessed person, so I'm looking forward to doing that. But I think this is just an indication that it cannot be business as usual, that not sending a diplomatic delegation sends that message. That does not mean, I think this was your question, just to come back to it, that we are, that is the end of the concerns we will raise about human rights abuses in Xinjiang. We've already taken a number of steps. We've been a leader in the world in leading actions through the G7. We're obviously also working with Congress, but this is just sending a message that given these human rights abuses, we cannot proceed with business as usual.
We disagree, Buck, with a lot the Biden administration does. Is this enough, or do you like the idea I've argued for personally, saying we're not sending our athletes to Beijing, we're going to throw our own Winter Olympics in the United States for democracy leading countries, right? Western democracies. We'll do it at Park City or somewhere like that. We could do it in Vancouver if Canada wanted to be involved. I'm not sure this is enough of a statement to be made against China. It's better than nothing, but not sending Jill Biden. I don't think Joe Biden was going to go anyway, or whoever it was going to be. Good or bad move?
So not really going to mean very much. I mean, I think that on one hand, you only really punish athletes by telling the athletes they can't go.
Right.
And even if you have your own thing, if all the other athletes are in Beijing, then it doesn't really matter, right? And I think a lot of companies are going to find right now, some people are starting to speak out a little bit. Okay, well, are they speaking out about just other corporate interactions with China? Or are they going to take on the companies that they work for as corporate interactions with China? I'm thinking of certain CNN folks. So we'll see.
It's encouraging, but only in a small way. Curious to see what's going to happen. Want you guys to know we can save you a bundle. How about $30 a month for unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data a month? Compared to your most recent cell phone bill, that'll probably save you an absolute ton. Here's the amazing part. Pure Talk service, exact same towers, exact same networks as the big three carriers, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. You can even keep your same phone number, but for far less money. How do they do it? Overhead is super low. No retail stores, no big-time sponsorships, just reliable cell phone service. And right now, iPhone 12, just $479. How do you get signed up? Join thousands of listeners and dial #250, say Pure Talk. Save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck at NYC, as long as we can still call it that, this communist-run dystopia. Clay out in Nashville, Tennessee, and Biden is currently addressing the American people right now about prescription drug plans. I mean, I guess they're just trying to have him come out and he's going to lower prescription drug costs, which is fine, but we got other problems. And if there's one thing we know Democrats are not good at, it's actually making the price of something lower than it is. You know, it's actually not making any market-based decisions that will allow for the easier and more efficient production of something. But anyway, Biden saying 1 in 4 Americans struggle to afford drugs. True. Okay. Democrats are not going to make that better, but they'll tell you they will. Anything but a focus on the various areas of Biden regime failure, including the remain in Mexico policy's reinstatement. Now, let's be very clear. They said defund the police, and now they've had to refund the police because it was so catastrophic in its effects. See, Democrats have all these ideas. It's like the faculty lounge is running the country, right? They have these ideas that sound interesting, but they don't take into account history, human nature, rationality, or data. But other than that, really rooted in what's going to allow them to make good policy choices. So they've been catastrophically stupid on criminal justice, policing, and the attendant increase in violence in cities is something we're all very aware of now. And they've had to roll that back. They've also had to roll back the remain in Mexico. I'm sorry, put back into place the remain in Mexico policy. That was one of the first things Biden got rid of when he came into office because it was inhumane. It was inhumane. It's not inhumane. And living in Mexico for a while is not inhumane. People actually go there on vacation. It's a nice country. So it was crazy that they did this. And now they're getting rid of at least parts of the program today. And here is a name you're going to be hearing more of. Carrie Lake, who is running for governor in Arizona, gave a great interview over the weekend on the Timcast show. And here she is saying, hey, remember that wall? Maybe the states that are run by reasonable Republicans should actually do something about helping with a wall.
First of all, we need to sue the federal government for failing to protect us. And while that lawsuit is working its way through the system, let's go down and start building the wall. We have many miles of Arizona state land we could be building it on. And let's finish these little gaps. They're coming through a funnel where there's a gap in the president's wall. And it is on federal land. But let's build the wall anyway. What's Joe Biden going to do? Arrest a sitting governor? I mean, honestly.
You think he would?
I would welcome that challenge because he's failing at his duty.
By the way, I think the answer is yes. If you challenge this regime on a political issue enough, they would send federal agents to arrest a sitting governor. Would they do it over the building of a wall on federal land by a state authority that's saying, look, this is to protect the people living within this state? That I can't say. But Clay, this is the issue. The Democrats, they are not going to be able to stop the break in the dam here to plug it easily. Because everyone who sees the Biden administration's immigration policies are a massive failure, a catastrophic failure.
The number one issue that Americans most repudiate the Joe Biden administration on is the border. Democrats say that Joe Biden is doing a bad job on the border. Let me repeat that. Democrats, independents overwhelmingly, Republicans too. And what's funny about this, and it would be more humorous if it wasn't so sad, is most of the media is not even going to cover this. Remember when AOC showed up at the border dressed all in white and extended her hand with all of her fellow squad
She's
members
crying.
And they were crying,
yeah.
crying over what was
and,
going
and
on.
And said
border.
She felt unsafe around members of Border Patrol. About 30% of Border Patrol, by the way, have prior military service, and a lot of them have prior law enforcement service, too. She felt unsafe around them. And about 25 to 30% of Border Patrol, by the way, are people of Latin. Well, I can't
descent,
believe.
Yeah.
I was going to say Latin descent. I know we're supposed
They're
to say
Latinx.
I would never say Latinx, but go ahead.
In fact, those people overwhelmingly who are Latino reject the termination Latinx, which is such a ridiculous construct, speaking of faculty lounges. But they are having to acknowledge that Trump's border policy was correct, and they are going back to the exact same border policy as Trump in an effort to stem the overwhelming tide of migrants coming across our borders who are doing so, many of them saying directly because they believe that Joe Biden's election means that they are welcome. And let me just keep repeating this because I think it's significant. Everybody who is arriving from an international destination is having to be tested for COVID. If you are arriving, they are not testing anybody hardly coming across the border illegally for COVID, to say nothing of vaccine mandates, but they are not hardly testing anyone, only if you show symptoms, which we know the vast majority of people who have COVID, especially young and healthy, like many of the people coming across the border are, do not show symptoms. They are doing completely different policies for illegal immigration as for people coming into this country legally.
Clay, the Biden regime doesn't have any mechanism of stopping the flow that does not involve the de facto admission of President Trump was right.
That's right.
He did the right thing. And remember, they didn't just say we have a different approach. They demonized Trump for this.
They called him Hitler.
They demonized Trump. You had, it was actually the former CIA director who's a huge Democrat, no surprise. At one point, Hayden came out and actually explicitly compared detention centers at our border to concentration camps.
Yes.
I mean, to your Hitler analogy. So that's not even, you're not exaggerating the kind of language that was being used to describe this. And the Remain in Mexico policy makes perfect sense. What it does is it changes the incentive so that people showing up at the border, and it's family units, they do that on purpose. They say that because then they're less likely to be turned away based on the policies we have. Because, yes, Americans are humane and we want people to be safe and we're trying to be kind, but we don't like being taken advantage of. This whole process that's been going on now for a few years is built upon the cartels making a ton of money and creating an entirely porous border to run fentanyl through, which we just had the highest ever overdose rate. And as we know, about 60-70% of those overdoses are opioid or opiate related. They're running through all these drugs. They're poisoning Americans in cities and towns, those of you listening in rural America, all across the country. And they're doing this by exploiting the goodwill of the American people to actually take in real refugees. These are not refugees. These are people that are pretending to be refugees. They're lying to Border Patrol. They're using canned statements. They even sometimes have little pieces of paper. Then they have little wristbands on that say they paid off the right cartel. By the way, I've seen the wristbands down at the border. And they lie and they say they have credible fear of violence in their home. Because they don't have credible fear of violence. They just want to be in America. It's got a nice big welfare state. And not only that, but they'll be told that we owe them, that it's our fault that the countries they're coming from are impoverished. So, it's self-justifying that they have intruded on our laws and in America by coming in illegally. The Biden administration welcomed all this. They created all of this. And they know that it's gotten so bad that the only way to stop it is to do the very thing that they said made Donald Trump a terrible human being. Gee, it's almost like the adults, Clay, on some issues were in charge, and now they're not.
It is utterly amazing that that is the policy that the Biden administration has had to come back to. And what's even more disappointing is how little media attention it's actually going to get. 20 years ago, Buck, at this time, the nation was still reeling from the worst terror attack to ever take place on American soil. We lost 2,977 people on September 11, 2001. Now, in the face of horror, brave Americans responded. Many stepped forward to enlist in our armed forces, and since then, more than 7,000 U.S. soldiers made the ultimate sacrifice. Those heroes were a part of the war on terror, too, America's response to 9/11. They fought for us, but never came home. Tunnel of the Towers honored those men and women who gave everything by reading their names aloud for the first time ever on Veterans Day. This year, in a new annual ceremony at the Lincoln Memorial, it was fantastic. Tunnel of the Towers is making sure their sacrifice is never forgotten. And now, Buck, they're doing something pretty awesome as well.
The Foundation's Season of Hope runs from Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve. At least one mortgage-free home a day is being given away for 37 days to honor America's greatest heroes. Do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Final segment of the Monday edition of the program. I encourage you to download the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. Make sure that you don't miss a single moment. Our thanks to Dr. Marty McCary, who was our only guest today, Johns Hopkins
phenomenal,
doctor.
By the way,
he was
phenomenal.
So good. So good in hour two. If you missed that, I really do think that you will love it. Share it with your friends and family. Great 15-minute discussion that we had with him. About the latest on Omicron, COVID, the vaccine mandates that are arising in New York City, all that and more was fantastic. Also, Want to hit you with a little bit of news as we are getting, we'll probably talk about this maybe a little bit more tomorrow, but the Department of Justice, we should say the Biden Department of Justice, Attorney General Merrick Garland is suing the state of Texas over the redistricting map that they have put in place, for 2022 that would theoretically add a couple of Republican districts to the House tally. This is going to fail. I'm just telling you right now, Buck, based on Supreme Court precedent, there is virtually no way this is going to succeed. It is entirely a politically motivated lawsuit that is going to lead to Democrats charging, as they have tried to charge for the past year and more, that this is a racially motivated map designed to disenfranchise minorities. That is what they are going to argue. They have zero chance of winning this lawsuit.
Oh, Clay, it's almost like whenever redistricting is done that favors Democrats, that's democracy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The system we have. But when there's redistricting in a state that Republicans have control of the state legislature, it's racist. Do they even know what the redistricting is? No, it's racist. Doesn't matter. It has to be racist. This is so divisive and so obvious, too, at the same time. I mean, they don't even... They will always try to come up with ways in red-controlled states to have some... They want a judge to intervene. They want someone else. It's an inherently political... It's literally the where you draw lines on a map question, right? There's no such thing as one that's not going to be something you could interpret as having political implications because you're drawing congressional districts. I mean, it's straightforward, folks. Like, there's no, you know, we're not all like living in castles in medieval times, and we know that everyone has to be within the walls.
Yeah, and for an easy example, to your point, Illinois has drawn maps that will disenfranchise Republican voters who wanted to have a Republican congressman. The state of New York, I believe, where you live, Buck, has already provided a map that will knock out some Republican districts as well. It's not going to surprise you, but blue states create maps that favor blue state representation, and red state maps are built by red states that would lead to Republican representation. This is what's going to happen. Now, there are a few states legally that have tried to create a bipartisan process to draw new maps after each census, and even some of those end up getting challenged, too. So this is a mess. I think the end result politically, again, is going to be to argue against Texas because Democrats know they're going to lose the House in 2022. But also, I think the end result statewide is that this is probably going to end up helping Governor Abbott, who is in a re-election contest now against Beto O'Rourke, who is trying to come back. Beto is going to get smoked in Texas. And I believe that this is going to work to Greg Abbott's favor because right now we have lawsuits pending where the federal government is challenging vaccine decisions made by the opposition to mandates made by Governor Abbott. And it's going to be part and parcel of the larger story the Democrats try to tell in 2022, which is when they lose, the reason they lost was because of racism.
One thing is I want to set our expectations on our side of things, folks, for all of you and our 440 or 50 or so affiliates across the country. It's not enough to win back the House and win control in the Senate next year. You have seen, and we're going through day in and day out, the ways in which these are things that affect your lives, right? When we're talking about vaccine mandates, people losing their jobs, people's kids being masked up, being forced to get the shot, the misery, the discomfort, the economic loss, the inflation that's eating away at your savings, all these problems. We talk about it so that, one, you know the truth, because if you go to traditional media, you're going to, you know, legacy media, you're going to be lied to about all this stuff, as you all know. That's why you're here. But also because we're trying to galvanize and mobilize.
Yes.
And we have to have, I mean, this is going to have to be an absolute wipeout year. Because
we need
it's
a
not
red
enough,
wedding.
It's not enough for this to be what the Democrats had in 2020, which is they eke out a win in the presidency and they kind of have control in the Senate. We're not eking out anything. This year has to be a year of political reckoning. 2022, which I know we're starting here in a few weeks, has to be a year of political reckoning for the whole country, where we finally get to say no to these, let's just be honest, dumbass ideas that Democrats have been pushing, stretching back even into the Trump administration, of course, but have gotten their way with it this year when it comes to COVID and the economy and the border and everything else. Never mind, you know, Clay, we haven't even talked about what's going on with the Russia military buildup next to Ukraine, which there's a lot there, by the way. You know, I'll tell you this much. If there were like if there was a Buck Jr., not yet, but if there was, would I be all excited to have him sign up and go fight for, you know, no one's saying we're going to do that right now. But when you're talking about military conflict, that's always something you should be thinking about. And the Biden administration, does anyone think that they're up for this? I mean, they're up for making sure our military leadership is woke and progressive, but ready to handle a situation like this deftly. I mean, Clay, it's like for the good of the country, we've actually got to get Joe Biden and the Democrats as far away from power as fast as we possibly can.
My concern, Buck, is we could have a simultaneous invasion of Ukraine by the Russians and an invasion of Taiwan by the Chinese. Because I believe they see the Biden administration as so feckless and weak and incapable of mounting a coherent response that they're using as evidence, certainly Biden himself, but also our withdrawal from Afghanistan. Would we be able to in any way handle simultaneous invasion of Ukraine and simultaneous invasion of Taiwan such that we could have a response to either? I don't think we could. Now, I do think because the Winter Olympics are happening in February, that the invasion of Taiwan would be highly unlikely to happen in the close proximity to that. But in 2022, it wouldn't surprise me at all if both of those countries invade.
Well, let's deal with one prospective invasion at a time. So we'll come into,
be a simultaneous agreement invasion.
That'd be a wild call to have made, Travis. I like it, though. Clay is calling a shot in the upper deck right now.
I'm pointing like Babe Ruth back in the day.
So we'll come back into the late. I mean, there's like 80,000 troops built up on the Ukrainian border. This will be a thing that we need to pay some attention to, even if we're not that focused on foreign policy these days in the national political discussion. But we'll have more on that for you, more on COVID and the Jussie Smollett trial, the Olympics coming up, people going anti-woke, other things.
Alex Berenson also going to join us, I believe, tomorrow for the latest from his perspective on the COVID insanity in New York where he lives. It's going to be great.
People should jump into the bunker with us because the truth bombs are falling.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.